The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 22, reading verses 1 to 14. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the place that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go on over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Here ends the lessons.
Every week, somebody brings in the glasses of water. Obviously today, they were running a little bit late. So we actually saw the people bringing in the glasses of water, for which we are very grateful. And that is the ministry that Jesus talks about in today's gospel. A cup of cold water to one of these little ones. I want to talk about welcoming. Those verses from the gospel talk about welcoming various groups of people: prophets, righteous people, and the little ones. But the theological statement is in the first verse: "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and the one who sent me." Powerful statement. In just three verses, we have our commission. Because this comes at the end of a series of commissionings that Jesus gives to his friends. They are to go out, they're to take the message, they're going to run into trouble, people will mistreat them and so on. But there is a care for them that Jesus is offering. Now this is Matthew's community. Soon after the church began, Matthew, we believe, became one of the leaders. And so they remember the ministry of Jesus and they start to put it into practice. So Jesus talks about welcoming. I want to tell you a little story about our welcome in New York. It was very interesting. We had flown from Vancouver to Chicago. The plane was running a little late. So we had to really fly through Chicago Airport from one end to the other to get the plane to New York. We just got there before the gate closed, and so we heaved a sigh of relief and arrived in New York to find, of course, that as we watched the carousel and the cases going around, these same six cases went around and around and ours did not appear. So we went up to the desk, to the counter, to explain that our cases hadn't arrived. And the woman at the desk, when Judith said, look, our plane was running out, she said, it's all right. I know the history. I know the history. Like, this happens every day. Don't worry. And it will turn up tomorrow. We'll get it to you tomorrow. In the meantime, I had gone to the place where the man was to get our transfer from the airport to the hotel. And the man said, look, we can't get that until you've got your luggage. And I went back, and of course we didn't get our luggage, so I went back. There was a different man at the desk. And I looked at him, a young man, a handsome young man, probably Spanish or something like that. I looked at his name, and his name was Jesus. Actually, I said, is that Jesus? Jesus? He said, no, Jesus. So I said, well, Jesus, we want our transfer. And he was very helpful. He said, it will be about another 25 minutes. You can imagine, we didn't feel all that welcome in New York. Things had gone a bit wrong. All right. Other people have worse problems, but this was us. And we were looking forward to our time in New York, where we're going to meet up with Anne and Bruce, and we're going to share time together and do what we went to New York to do. I can't help thinking of the words of the hymn that we've just sung. Wherever you travel, I'll be there, I'll be there. And the creed and the colour and the name don't matter. I'll be there. And I started to think about that hymn. Of course, it's the Sidney Carter hymn. Lord of the Dance. Simple Gifts. A number of hymns that we've enjoyed probably back in the 60s. But he was a pacifist. And that hymn to me, is it about God? Or is it about us as we travel and our relationship with other people? I suspect that's what it's about. But wherever you travel, I'll be there, I'll be there. We were traveling. And then we found that there were people there for us. A few days later, Anne and Bruce and I went, and Judith, of course. Sorry. Went on a cruise on the river. The Hudson. And we came by, of course, the Statue of Liberty. And the Statue of Liberty, of course, has a plaque. Part of a poem by Emma Lazarus. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And those words came back to me as we passed by the Statue of Liberty. Fine words. Words that are engraved very deeply into the psyche, if you like, of America. And here, with our boundless plains to share. All of these things kind of came to me as I looked at these verses. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So in our hospitality of others, we're given this promise, if you like, that God is in it with us. So let's look for a moment at those categories that Matthew's community thought about. The prophet. We don't always feel comfortable with the prophet. The prophet is a truth teller. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth makes us uncomfortable. The truth of climate change, for example, the prophets of climate change that tell us and warn us. Some don't want to believe that. We have the climate skeptics, or septics, is it? No, skeptics. Those who tell it like it is. For example, going to the doctor and finding out, as Bill has, that something needs to be done is worthwhile. The prophet has his place, her place. And we hear, as it were, the word from God through the prophet. The righteous ones, well, I guess many of us have come across the self-righteous, and that makes us very uncomfortable. But the righteous are those who do the right thing. They are genuine people. They're here, all around. So are the prophets. But most of all, the little ones. The little ones who go about spreading the word and serving. Now, I began to think about why did Jesus say these things, or why did Matthew remember something that brought this into the scripture? You know, we take our granddaughter every Monday over to the Norwood Parade, or just off the parade, for a little thing called Boppy Bugs, where she learns to dance and all that kind of thing, so she can take after her auntie. And we go past Clayton. And every time we go past Clayton, there is that banner there that says Jesus was a refugee. And the chapter and verses from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and so on. And I went and read that again. And it's such a powerful thing we hear just once every 3 years, that Jesus was a refugee to Egypt. And while they were in Egypt, they learned that Herod, who had been out to get Jesus, and when he didn't, he killed all the other little boys, that Herod had died, and so they were going back to Israel. But they heard that Archelaus was in charge, and so they bypassed the place they were going and went to a little town called Nazareth, so that Jesus was brought up as a Nazarene. And Matthew says, of course, this is to fulfill the scripture, which was Matthew's take on so many things. But I started to think about what that meant for Jesus growing up in Egypt. Just as long as Joseph wasn't a reporter, he was all right. So Jesus learned hospitality. He learned welcoming from people who were complete strangers and of different ethnicity. I'm only guessing at this, but I suspect there's a truth in it. That the experiences Jesus had, I mean, we know so many stories where Jesus came across people, for example, the Syrophoenician woman, who challenged him when he was talking about he only came for the lost sheep of Israel. She challenged him. And we see that Jesus responded to that challenge. So my strong hunch is that Jesus learned something about hospitality from that community in which he was placed as a refugee. And so he talks about when you go exercise hospitality. A cup of cold water given in my name is of great value. It will not lose its reward. Now, a cup of cold water in that kind of climate, you can understand, is better than anything else. But the trouble is, these disciples going out on their missionary endeavour, how the heck are they going to carry water with them? In fact, Jesus said, when you go, don't take this, don't take that, don't take the other. So what they took was a message. They took a message of hope and of goodness, of goodwill, of good news. That you, as Archbishop Desmond Tutu said so often, you matter. You matter. That's the welcome, that's the hospitality, that's the message they took. They took to the people they were closest to, and then eventually moved further and further out. And it's come to us. This message that you are welcome. The ministry of hospitality is deeply rooted in this passage. Moriarty Uniting Church has been exercising this ministry for a long time, most particularly in the last 3 weeks with funerals that were held here. And the people who were the recipients of the hospitality of this church expressed their gratitude for the way this church has offered that. And in that, I can see God has been made welcome in so many lives. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. God bless our community here with its ministry of hospitality.